Hi there, it's the 20th of January, and I thought I'd just give a quick update. I've not been so good since I last spoke to Alex. I had a triggering phone call, which I mentioned to him, and it sort of sent me into a bit of an anxiety spin. My ex-husband decided that he was going to dramatically cut the financial contribution he makes to both the household and the kids, and it's resulted in a few sleepless nights. I've been having high anxiety symptoms, like struggling to take a deep breath, and my mind has been going crazy. I've been doing 3 meditations a day to try and relax my nervous system, but I'm struggling, I have to be honest. And I've also been thinking a lot about my parents. You know, I haven't had contact with them for a long time, and I don't think I'm feeling very comfortable with the whole no contact thing, especially with the relentless COVID negative news that's also triggering my huge anxiety within me. Nothing else really much to report. I'm carrying on with the reset program. I'm trying to do the stop when my thoughts race out of control, but I'm not sleeping brilliantly. I'm struggling to cope with that a little bit. So all in all, I don't feel like I'm in a very good space, but anyway, there we are. Onwards and upwards.
Hi, Katie. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a miracle. It works.
Miracle of modern technology.
I know. How are you doing?
I've not been great, to be honest. I've been really, really anxious. So much so that I just think I've got myself into an acute state where I'm struggling with breathing, and the more I concentrate on the breathing and the meditation, the more anxious I'm getting, because I feel like I can't take a deep breath all the time, and so I'm constantly trying to take a deep breath. Mm. And last night it kind of reached a peak where I've been trying so hard with the meditations and the stop process and the, you know, doing that body scan. And I just think all the news and all the other stuff going on in my life, I just got into a bit of an acute state. So I did phone my GP this morning just to say, well, last night I thought I was dying. I just got myself into real, and the more I couldn't breathe, the more I was trying to breathe, and then the more panicky I was getting. And anyway, she's prescribed me a couple of days of diazepam just to try and relax my muscles, but I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not. And I do feel calmer, I have to say.
Okay. You want to talk me through what's been happening just in terms of the events? I'm sure that's had some kind of impact on what's happening as well, just since I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, just so I've got the sort of full picture.
I think last time I spoke to you, I'd had a phone call saying from my husband saying that he was going to cut off money. And that's really what triggered a lot of anxiety in me. But then I heard that my cousin, who's only a few years older than me, had been hospitalised and on high dependency with COVID.
Wow.
And that triggered a huge amount of anxiety in me. She's out now and she's fine, but she's still recovering.
Wow. That's really hard.
Yeah. But you asked me to write down stuff that made me feel good. And
Yeah, how did that go? And also I want to come on to how you got on with modules 4 and 5, but let's start with the exercise around the things that you feel proud of, you know, each day noticing those things. How was that?
The first few days I couldn't find anything that I felt proud of. I just didn't put pressure on myself to do that. But then I have been doing the meditation much more, and I have been doing my walks. And so that was one thing I thought, I'm proud of myself for self-care. And then also this not engaging in the conflict. So these emails that have been going backwards forwards between me and Simon have been quite civil and quite dignified, and I have paused between. Normally, if I get an email, I'll fire back a response immediately. But I've paused and just let it kind of sink in.
That's amazing. And that shows you that when you change your behavior, you can impact upon your relationships with other people. And it might not be the case that the really complicated relationships like your ex and your mother and that sort of thing change overnight, but hopefully it empowers you to realize that, hang on, I changed how I dealt with this situation, and it actually had a positive impact on changing the situation.
Yeah. And so I put that down. And then the other thing I put down was that I have always vested huge importance in my identity as a successful journalist, you know, comms person. And that was my identity, and actually that's gone. So my identity was either a mother of four, a wife of a successful journalist, but it was never me.
Right.
It was never who, my identity was always pinned on one of those things, a mental health loser, whatever, you know, that was always and gradually over the last few years, I think it is, but this has kind of consolidated that process, is I've let go of those identities. Mm. and I'm really much more in connection with me, and I'm soothing and nurturing. And I think that's why I might be in this state of anxiety, because I feel very vulnerable and
open. Yes, I think it raises a very important thing, which is when we're so used to relating to the world through those identities, there's a certain comfort and familiarity of those identities, although it's also draining, and they become barriers to the world. Like, because what happens is we relate through those identities, and people relate to us through those identities, which means we don't fully feel the connection, the holding, the support of life, because we're always kind of once removed. But equally, when you take those identities away, initially there is this place of, well, who the fuck am I if I'm not all these people? And that feels, on a felt level, it feels very vulnerable and very shaky, sometimes very young, very delicate. And that is, as much as that might feel scary, it's also a good sign, because it means you're doing something new, something which is unfamiliar.
And it's almost reconnecting with that little girl that was so frightened and bewildered and anxious before I started, you know, using different substances and techniques to try and survive.
Well, part of the reason why you use those substances and techniques was to try and protect her and get away from those difficult feelings.
Yeah.
What you're learning.
So now I've stripped all that away. It's kind of, oh my God, I'm just left with this kind of. And I think that's also why it's so upsetting to continue to be told that I'm this horrible, controlling, mean, manipulative person when. And that, you know, they don't know how hard I've been working, but I've been working so hard to not act out in those behaviours. I've been working so hard not to, you know, throw my toys out of the pram. And, you know, in the past, I have thrown dinner plates on the floor and screamed and shouted. And,
well,
you know, sometimes.
I suspect it wasn't the first thing you attempted to do to make things different.
It wasn't, no.
It's not a thing that comes down a path where many, many things have been attempted before one gets to the point like that.
How
have you been getting on with the other part of the homework? So I asked you to go into modules 4 and 5 with the stop process and the presence process. And I wonder how that's been. And also, I'd love to talk a bit about some of the things that you found yourself using the technique on.
So the stop process, I've used it. I didn't find that as helpful as the presence process, but I think they're one, and I think one leads onto the other almost. Yeah. So the stop process, I have caught myself going into thought processes like, so last night is a good example, and I was trying to use it last night when I did get myself into a state. And I was thinking, I can't take a deep breath, so maybe it's COVID, and I've got a bit of a cough, and then my head just started literally going, and then I've got aches and pains, and I know that's one symptom, and then I'm overweight, so if I go into hospital, I'm going to be on a ventilator, and I'm going to die, and then they won't know where all my stuff, my paperwork is, and my head literally just went off. And
I call, as you probably remember from the module, what I call snowball thinking. You start with a little bit of snow, and then it rolls down the mountain, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger each step that it goes.
And then I was thinking on it, and I can't breathe. And even if I call an ambulance now, they won't. And what if I, you know? And my head just was, and I was going, I say pause, just pause, and try and get that. And I do the kind of that. Pause, and then I say it's going to be okay. That's my kind of how I, and then go into that just breathing, trying to breathe. But the problem is, my problem at the moment is I'm struggling to breathe. So if I focus on the fact that I'm struggling to breathe, it almost gets worse.
Yeah, and that since
the trigger, since my husband told me he wasn't going to give me any more money, that has resolved. And that is something else I'm really proud of as well, actually, because I didn't fire off an email saying, you disgusting piece of whatever. I just said, it will put me in an enormously difficult situation. It will cause me a lot of stress. And at the end of the day, ultimately, it's the children who will suffer, not me, because we'll both get a really bad credit rating if we can't pay our mortgage, and then we won't be able to get anything else anyway. Hmm. Anyway, we've had these, but I didn't say it in any anger. And then we have actually had an email conversation about possibly looking at doing some kind of therapy, joint therapy, to try and, I don't know where it would lead, I don't know what the outcome will be, but it's about just trying to have a more constructive relationship, whether we're apart or together.
And I think having some kind of mediation or couples therapy, you know, whatever stage of the process you guys consider yourself to be at, I think would be really good. I think trying to deal with the emotion of separation alongside the practicalities of separation without some sort of holding and support, I think is very difficult.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a development, which I do feel happy about.
What I think would be really helpful would be to spend a week or two really drilling, working with the stop process or the presence process. And I think particularly, if you remember going back a few sessions ago, and we talked about these get into jail free cards and these sorts of ways of thinking where you sort of guarantee that you get yourself in a sort of psychological prison. And I think some of these patterns that are playing out, like, it's all my fault that she's like this, or, I've just been a failure as a mother, and this is my comeuppance for that. You know, when you go into those patterns, or when you sort of find yourself getting reactive and sort of wanting to go to sort of war with her, again, using your pause and just settling and calming your system, I think would help you enormously. And I think it does sound like the not being able to breathe was a symptom that was triggered by the financial stress, because it's almost like, your oxygen's been, money is like oxygen when you haven't got enough of it, in a sense. So I'm hoping that with the resolving of that, you can just start to find a bit more space in your chest and just relax a bit more fully back into yourself.
And the presence process I loved, that doing, just concentrating on fully relaxing your legs and your arms. The problem is my neck is still very painful. So I need to incorporate relaxing my neck as well into that, which I was doing.
Do you ever do any kind of yoga?
Yeah, I do. Well, I haven't done it for the last few weeks because of this money situation, but I was doing it every week, yeah.
Yeah, and there's tons of good stuff on YouTube, you know, but I would start doing 20, 30 minutes of yoga each day. I think when you've got that sort of kind of neck tightness, that's the sort of things that just help all that ease. You know, it's almost like I'd love you to have a period of time where there's a really intensive period of self-care, like meditation every day, yoga every day, presence process multiple times through the day. Keep going with the journaling of the things, the kind of positive things about yourself. And it's almost like I'm going to really actively work to bring things back into balance. And I think you'll be, I think you'll be amazed at the impact you can have, but B, it's also incredibly empowering, because then you go from in future being afraid of those symptoms to going, hang on, I've been in this place before and I was able to shift it and get myself out of it.
And I might take a week off work and literally just do that process.
I think that would be great.
I might do that.
So having a sustained week or so of some time off work, and it's like you almost go on a mini retreat, like you're really committing to self-care in a really focused way. I think it's not just about shifting things now. It's about realizing that you can impact on how you feel, which I think is they're much more empowering for the future.
Yeah. I just think I did get into a real, whatever I was doing, I just couldn't get. I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and, you know, my head was already in full session. And
there's a lot that you're already doing right. I think you've done great to keep going with the meditation, to keep, you know, to keep going with the homework. I just think we need to double down for a little bit to just get things into a really solid place. I just want to really bed down the sort of psychological scaffolding, like the just getting things really solid. And also, in this newer place of you meeting the world, not through all of these images and ideas, just making sure that that sort of self-care is really in place to support that.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, it's painful, and it's, but I know that the work is helping, even though on the surface, I'm still sort of, I'm struggling a bit, but I think that's part of it.
And totally. And this sort of therapeutic work isn't easy. It's like the measure of success is not that everything suddenly feels effortless. It's hard work, but it's work that's worth doing. And I think you're feeling some of the fruits of that work, even though it's still really tough at the moment.
It's just a new way of feeling and being for me. So it's not familiar. So it's anxiety provoking just in.
And it takes effort as well, because it's not yet fully sort of locked in.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely feels like things are sort of calming a bit. So, you know, give that another sort of, you know, that's in 2 weeks' time. If we see each other perhaps in person in 4 weeks' time, then hopefully things are looking better by then.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome, Katie. And keep going with modules 4 and 5 at this point. You know, really spend, keep working on bedding that in, because I think that's also going to help a lot as well.
Okay, lovely. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.